Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
A lot of people enjoying it. But it's good to be in church, and we're in this series called Make a Move. Say, make a move. Oh, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I must be training you all right. you've had your coffee. It's all good, right? We're in a series, Make a Move. And in week one of this Make a Move, we talked about these four lepers in 2 Kings. And these four lepers, if you remember them, said, if we stay where we are, we're going to die. If we go back into the city, we're going to die. But if we go to the enemy camp, if we go forward, if we try something new, then maybe, just maybe, we will live. And so they made a decision. And if we're going to make a move for God, we have to first make a decision to move. Because until we've made the decision, we're not moving, are we? And so we've got to make a decision to move. And then last week, we started looking at this story that we've just read out in the scriptures, the Israelites under the command of Joshua crossing over the river, crossing over the Jordan River into the promised land. So this was actually how they were crossing. And we talked about the what move to make. Because we can make a decision to move, but we need to know what move to make, right? And so we looked at this idea of what move do we make. And we talked about how the move, if we're connected to Jesus, and we had that rope as the illustration. Like, if I'm here, and let's say I'm God, and you're 10 metres, 20 metres, 50 metres away on a rope, you could pretty much dance around. You're still connected, but you're not really in any given space. But if we get really close to Jesus, really close to God, and we get that really tight, and we then had the little piece of rope, and then when God moves, we move. And it was like this, you know, when God lifts his hands, we lift our hands. When he moves left, we move left, because we're close. And we're meant to be like that, in that relationship, we're just moving like this. And that was week two, where our heartbeats get in sync with God's heartbeat, and our lives get in sync with God's life, and our purpose and everything and mission just kind of syncs together because we're really, really close. This week, I want to, so we covered the make a decision. We have to make the decision. We talked about what move to make, getting close to God. Now I want to give you some practical tips. I'm going to teach a little bit today, not preach. Mind you, it could end up being a teach preach, but who knows. Practical decisions, practical things that we can do and we can know that will help us to cross the obstacle, cross the river, to make that move. Does that make sense? Yep. That's what we're going to do. All right, and we've got the whole story, so you've had the whole story out, but I'm just going to pick a couple of verses out, and then we're going to get straight into these points. Are you ready?
Yep.
6 people. I'm glad I spent so much time putting this together. All right, here we go. Joshua chapter 3, verse 6 says this. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took up and went ahead of them. You see, I love this little piece in this story because the first thing and the first practical thing we need to know if we want to make a move for God, the first practical thing we need to know is we can't do it alone. I know, that's encouraging, isn't it? We can't do it alone. There was 1.2 million Israelites at this point in time, right? 1.2 million Israelites, and they had camped in front of this river that was flowing, the banks were bursting, they were there, and this river, and probably wondering, how the heck are we going to get across this? How are we going to deal with this obstacle? How are we going to get, and it's a giant obstacle, don't get me wrong, a flowing river, you know, that was flowing really quickly. But Joshua doesn't take matters into his own hands. He calls the priests to carry the ark. And remember, the ark, above the ark, the two cherubim, the presence of God was said to be there, so he called on God, and he called on the priest to help him out. Does that make sense? Now, if it was me, and I was the leader, I'd probably say, oh, we could build a bridge. That would get us across the river, if we build a bridge, or let's build some boats, that will get him. He doesn't do this. There's no indication to say that he took it on himself and tried to fix it himself. And I don't know about you, but whenever I've faced an obstacle in my life, whenever I've come across something, whenever something's going on, and problems happened or trials gone on, the first thing I do is to try and fix it myself. If I'm honest. And if you're all honest, so do you. Come on, I'm not unique like that, am I? We all try and fix the problems that we got to actually get to a place of going, God, you know what? Help me out. Help me out. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why coming to church is so important, because we gather with people. And the Holy Spirit in them and the Holy Spirit in us connects, and then we gathered and we could help each other out. That's why, you know, worshiping God and knowing that He goes before us, taking things to Him is so important. Like, we shouldn't be these type of people that goes, oh, well, I've tried everything to fix this problem. I guess all I can do now is go to God. Probably should go to God first and leave it with Him, because we can't do it by ourselves. Does that make sense? Tracking what I'm picking up? Like, we can't do it alone. We can't do it ourselves. Which brings me to the second point, is if we want to make a move for God, right, then we need to know and need to remember that we're not alone. Because it's one thing to know that we can't do it. It's another thing to know we're not alone in all of this. We're not alone. Verse 7 says this, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Say, God is with us. Oh, that sounded like a classroom. Let's do it with a bit of attitude this morning. Come on, bit of attitude. Say, God is with us. That's better. You see, when we face an obstacle in our life, God is with us. When we go through the trial, God is with us. When we get that bad health report, God is with us. When the world's crashing down and all hell is breaking loose around us and our kids won't do what they're supposed to do and we just feel like giving up, God is with us. God is with us when life gets hard. God is with us. And He didn't get rid of the obstacle. He didn't do that. He took the people through the obstacle, through the middle of it. And a lot of times we pray to God and we go, God, take this thing away from me. But actually, if you read on in the chapters, like chapter 4 and chapter 5, you'll see that Joshua sends the priests back into the river to collect 12 stones and they build a monument of. Maybe when God takes us through something, He's showing us something. We're supposed to collect something along the way that actually encourages us, that strengthens us, that makes us more of who we are. Does that make sense? But He doesn't leave us in the middle there. Like verse 17 of that same chapter says, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan. So get the picture here, right? These guys are facing an obstacle. God stops the water flow. They walk along, and the Ark of the Covenant sits where? In the middle, as they all pass by. God was in the middle the whole entire time. And we need to remember that sometimes when we're going through stuff, that God is in the middle of it with us. Yeah? Like, are you picking this up? That God is in the middle with us. I say it like this, God may lead us into the valley of the shadow of death, but He's not going to leave us in the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to walk with us all the way through the valley of the shadow of death. And we need to remember He's with us every step of the way, regardless of what we're facing, regardless of the trial, regardless of the issue, regardless of the problem. If life cries, God is with us right now. Amen? He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He hasn't gone to sleep thinking, you know what, earth is fine, my people are fine, I'm just going to take a nap at the back. He doesn't do that. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't lie. He is with us all the time. God is with us. We need to remember this. Whenever we're facing something, because it's so easy to go, God has given up on me. And that's just a lie of the enemy coming in to tell you and to try and take you out. The enemy will do everything possible to try and convince you that God has left you. And He hasn't. He is with you every step of the way. Amen? Number three, and I want to get, because there's something really cool at the end I want to show you. Number three, if we want to make a move for God, we need to have faith. Now, this is a given, I know. But we need to have faith. Verse 8 says, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when they reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Go and stand in the river. Now, this is a little bit different, because if you know your story, you know a little bit of the history, the people of God actually had crossed the Red Sea under Moses, right? You remember that? Crossing of the Red Sea is like the famous one. This is the second time they're crossing a body of water. And so what he's called them to this time is to step into the river as they touch the water's edge. Now, this is a flowing river, right? A flowing river that is bursting at the banks. The first time, Moses just had to raise a staff. Nobody got into the water or anything, and the waters parted. This time, he tells the priest, get in the river. Start to walk across. It's a little bit more than just raise it up, because my question would be, as I step into the river, is this going to part? What's going to happen here? Like, can you imagine if you're carrying this ark and you're the priest and you step and look, flowing river, big current, and your foot starts to slip a little bit before, you know what I mean? Like it takes a little bit more faith. And so God actually then, when it comes to our lives, requires us to have that little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Think about it like this. I could have a chair, and the first time I sit in this chair, I might wonder to myself, is it going to hold me up? I know I've got a little bit through the middle, but, you know, is it going to hold me up? And so I kind of look at it, I inspect it, I go, oh, yep, that's going to be, and then I have faith and I sit down in it, and it holds me up. Then the next time I come to this chair, I just go, oh, yeah, there's the chair, and I sit in it. I don't actually think, is it going to hold me up anymore? I just believe it's going to do it. Make sense? And see, God is actually, each time wants us to step it up a little bit and step it up a little bit and step it up a little bit, because he wants to make sure we remember who's in control, who's got us, where our help comes from. He wants to make sure that, and make sure we rely on him completely and solely for everything. Does that make sense? Like working a muscle, he wants us to get it bigger and bigger. He wants our faith to become bigger and bigger and bigger. And so sitting in the chair that we know will hold us up is not faith. That is just common sense, because it's going to hold me up. But if he requires us to do something extra and do something extra each time, then our faith builds and builds and builds and builds. Capture that? It needs faith. We need to have a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith. And God is good like that. He actually steps it up so that we continue to rely on him. This is actually God putting something in place to ensure that we stay connected with him. And I think that's a pretty cool thing. Yeah? All right. Number four. If you're taking notes or you're writing or you're memorizing all of this. Number four. We can't let the past hold us back. We can't let the past hold us back. This is what it says in verse 17 and 18. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground. Say dry ground. Dry ground. And stood on dry ground, which while the Israelites passed on by, the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. I got caught on the fact that it says dry ground twice. Right? So I was like, what's the significance of the dry ground? Why dry ground, right? Like, if a river stops flowing, wouldn't you expect all the silt and the mud and the dirt to be at the bottom of the river? Yeah, it makes sense, right? That all the junk would just settle to the bottom, right? And if you were to walk through it, like we probably all did with kids, and like Daniel probably still does, when he sees a muddy puddle, the first thing they want to do is jump in it. And what happens? Mud gets all over the place. Sticks to them. Yeah? And yet it's saying that they walk through on dry ground. If they walked through on dry ground, it meant nothing stuck to them. None of the dirt, none of the junk, none of the stuff. So they're walking through on dry ground. Do you know what? I think it's symbolism here enough for us to go, you know what? God doesn't want us to carry any of our baggage, any of our past, any of our dirt from behind through with us into the new life. Does that make sense? He wants to make sure we don't collect anything even on the way. And when you gave your hearts to Jesus, you were made completely brand new, right? You're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He took the old life, wiped it away. You were made cleaner and whiter than snow, the scripture says. So, you know, when we're walking through and crossing through, then dry ground, nothing sticking to us. But we get so caught up at times because someone somewhere in our past said that you weren't good enough for that, don't we? Or you're just an accident. You're not even meant to be here. You're not smart. You're not clever. You're not tall enough. You're not old enough. You're not short enough. We've heard something. You know the whole old and young and old debate, right? we're too young. And then now I reckon there's only about a week. And then we're too old. Like there's this little narrow, like, and if we're not careful, we miss that little, like we get told stuff and things are said to us all the time. If I actually believed everything that was told to me when I was applying to become an officer, I wouldn't be standing here today. I was told he would never make a great officer, never make a great pastor. If I had actually listened to that and let that mud stick on me and tried to carry that through, I wouldn't be here. See, a lot of us have heard things and people have said things and spoken into our lives and maybe people we love and people we care for, but they've said things that we've held on to for too long. God's calling us to cross on dry ground. Let it, leave it. Leave it in the past. Yes, it forms who you are. Absolutely, I get it. But leave it in the past. Cross into the new. Cross into the promised land on dry ground. Does that make sense? You're picking this up. Dry ground. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ. We're the head and not the tail. We're above, not below. We're royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why should we take the old with us? We should be taking the new with us into that place, not letting it attach to us. Point number five, if we want to make a move for God, is we need to be ready for new things. We need to be ready for new things. Joshua chapter 3 verse 4 says this. When you will know which way to go. We looked at that last week. You'll know which way to go. Since you've never been this way before. It's new to these guys. Say new things. Say new things so I can have another drink. New things. New things. We serve a God of new things. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give them a new heart and put a new spirit inside them. Isaiah 65:17 says, see, I've got a new heavens and a new earth. The former things are not remembered and they will not come to mind. 1 Peter 1:3 says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth in this living hope. Isaiah 43:8 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Revelations 21 says, I see the new heavens and a new earth. Colossians 3:10 said, put on the new self. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we've been renewed day by day. We serve a God who is about the new. Amen? We serve a God who is about the new. And I'm going to say it like this. If you are looking back and remembering the good old days and yesteryear and harking back to all of that, I'm not saying that stuff is bad. And I'm not saying it's wrong. But we serve a God who wants to take us from where we are to where something else is. And we've never been there before, but it is brand new. Amen? A God who is new. He wants to take us from glory to glory, from one place to another. It's got to be from one space to a new place, a place we've never been before. And you can disagree with me all you like, but our God is a God who wants to take the... I'm going to say it like this. If we're longing for the good old days, then we need to check our spirits. Because our God is a God of new. He's about transforming us, about transforming our church, transforming our city, transforming our communities for His glory. The message stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. But if we serve a God who wants to deliver that message new all the time. He wants to do something new in us, new in our church, new in our community. It's about the new. Amen? Church, if we are comfortable sitting in this place, singing Kumbaya and not moving forward, then we are not serving the right God. It is time for us to make the move. It is time for us to synchronize our hearts with God. It's time for us to just to get on board, to see where He's working and get on board with Him and start to do this with Him. It is time for us to retake the ground that the enemy has stolen and taken from us. It is time to claim the promises that God has for us. It's time to realize and remember that greater things are yet to come. Greater things, and all we have to do is make a move for Him. It's time for us to make a move because greater things are yet to come, and I truly believe our best days are ahead and not behind. Amen? Our best days are ahead and not behind. He's a God of the new, a God of the new, a God of the new. And he's so good. I'll get the keys to come up. Because I want to show you one more thing. In Joshua chapter 3, this whole picture, the whole story, is a story of God's grace for us and how he made a move for us. Verse 15 and 16 says it like this. Now the Jordan was at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water upstream stopped flowing. So when they touched the water's edge, the water stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away in a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zepharim, while the water's flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, which is the Dead Sea. See, the Jordan River in this story represents sin. And sin is an obstacle between us and God. It's a barrier between us and God. Promised Land represents heaven. And we're on the wrong side. We know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know this. But the Jordan River, it's flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, which is the Dead Sea. So we know the Dead Sea is a place where water flows in, but never flows out. It disappears. The water just flows in. And this river is at flood levels, which means if we were to overlay this picture on it, then the sin is great and massive. And all the water is flowing to the Dead Sea, to this place where it just disappears. And if we had to walk into this river, we would get swept away in the current. It was said to be roaring. Our sin will carry us and lead us to death. Sin separates us from God, from the promised land, from the place of blessing. But Jesus made a move. Jesus made a move. He left heaven and came to earth. Came into our mess. And then he walked into the river. And it says that it piled up in a heap a great distance away in a town called Adam. Could it be that Jesus, when he got there and he died on the cross for your sins and my sins, that he took sin and piled it all the way back to the very first man on the planet and piled up sin there and said that every single human now has a chance to cross into the promised land? Does this make sense? Are you seeing the picture of this here? Like he made a move for you and for me today. He made the move for us. Held back sin, held back death, held back it all for us. And I want to just say to people today, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus. If he's not the Lord of your life, then you need to get on board with him. Whether you're watching online or you're in the room, you need to get on board with Jesus, because here's the thing, right? He will hold back it, but eventually he'll let it go. We've got to cross. We can't do it alone. We can't. But we're not alone. Jesus and God is with us. The church is with us. Everybody's with us as we go. Right? We need to have faith. Absolutely. We need to take that step in. And the waters, you know, will be piled up. We need to do that. Right? We need to do that. And when we get to the other side, we'll be in the promised land or in heaven with God himself. A land flowing with milk and honey where grapes are said to be the size of basketballs. I want to see one of these grapes. I think they'd just be awesome to try and eat a grape the size of a basketball. Wouldn't you? But we've got to turn our eyes to Jesus. We've got to do it. And so today, I just want everybody to kind of bow their heads, close their eyes. If you're online, You can do this by putting a hand-raising emoji or something in the chat. I've got it right here, and I'll see it come up. And with everybody's eyes bowed and heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask the question, do you know Jesus? Or maybe you do know Jesus, but you knew him a long time ago and you really haven't actually committed to that in recent days. I want to give you a chance today to just lift your hand and say, yeah, I want to know Jesus. Maybe you've done that 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, and you just want to recommit your life again to him and go, I want to recommit my life and just say, yeah, that's me today. So if that's you, just raise your hands. If you're in the room, yeah, I see him. Yeah, I see him. Awesome. Online, if you're there doing it, you can put a hand raising emoji. There's like heaps of people in the room today. Just raise your hand and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to take my place on the cross. Thank you for paying the price, for rolling back sin so that we can cross. Only you could have done that. Only you could have done that, Jesus. We couldn't do it on our own. Thank you for taking our place in death so that we could have life and live in the promised land with you forever. Let's sing this song a couple of times. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because this is the prayer, that we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. The things of this earth may still be here, but they will grow dim in the light of his glory and his grace. And if God's speaking to you, you can stand up as we sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you online for those who've got their hands up. I see them. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And if God is speaking,